This is Lewis Matheny with Local Matters, and I am in the recording studio today with somebody with whom I share a long history that goes back to elementary school.
Yeah, dare we say kindergarten, Lewis?
I think kindergarten.
I think it had to be kindergarten.
Yeah, but as far back as I can remember, I remember originally Melinda Stone, who is Melinda Kiefer.
Me as well.
And your wonderful mom, who was a teacher of
mine.
She
was,
in school as well.
Fourth grade.
So there's something about bringing the community together and being a teacher and setting a great example for what being a citizen could be that I think was instilled in you. And I want to go back for listeners, and I say readers so often because I'm such an avid reader, but listeners and readers
there you go.
Who are listening, I want Melinda, if you have a moment, to just recap starting from the beginning for those that don't really know what it is you did at the beginning. And I watched all of this from afar. My Aunt Jean, who you knew, sent me article after article about what was going on the old West Side.
Right.
And the old West Side shopping district for us mostly included Princess Theater and favorite spots of mine like Enzer's Bookstore.
Yes. And Leslie's Five and Dime.
Yes. You know.
Yeah.
And in the 70s, Cookeville did what a lot of mid-sized cities and Cookeville, I keep reading the term micropolitan. Little towns, big towns across America fell in love with the idea of malls.
Yes.
That was a product of architecture in which we placed people together with large plazas.
We tried to create a downtown in one building.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It worked for a while.
So, you know, we've never really had this conversation. I'm glad we're having it today.
I guess we haven't.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's like you and I always just pick up where we left off.
Yes.
The last time we saw each other. And there's definitely beauty there in having those long time tried and true relationships.
Yes, yeah.
And so, you know, Lewis, you and I both were very blessed to go to the Tennessee Tech campus school. Both my parents worked for the university. Daddy was a football coach. And then ultimately, mother taught at the campus school. So looking back, one of the things that I want to kind of sit on for a minute is you and I were exposed in K through six to Spanish. We had Spanish classes.
Mm-hmm.
We had French classes. And again, this was kindergarten through sixth grade. We had two major PE classes. We had music. We had art. And then we had incredible teachers that got the basic curriculum as well. And when I look back at my children who are now grown, and as they went through the education system, I am so honored and so blessed to have been a product of that type of school environment. It was very unique. We also went to school with South Africans, Saudi Arabian, Iraqi, Irani, Pakistani, Mexican. So we really were in a very unique, and it took me a while to kind of reflect on that.
Me too.
We had a huge opportunity there.
Yeah.
But with that said, coming from a long line of what I call servant heart, genetics, mother and daddy both, you know, felt strongly about the family unit. And honestly, the family unit is also a community.
Right.
And so obviously with daddy being a football coach, and we laugh and say, you know, he left a mark everywhere he went. Let's just be clear. Daddy was mayor. He coached football for a long time. He and his brother Harold bought a business, and they were, you know, small independent businessmen after his football career. And then, of course, mother taught 32 years, fourth grade. She always said that was the perfect age because at the age you are in fourth grade, you are independent and grown enough to feed yourself and wipe everything that needs to be taken care of, but you still like your teacher.
Yes.
So she always enjoyed that.
Yes.
So,
and the teacher we're talking to today, by the way, folks, is the mother of Melinda, who was Stone and now Kiefer. And your mom's first name, which slips my mind,
Dean Stone.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when Tech Campus School closed, she went to Northeast, and she touched a lot of lives. And if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. She was my favorite teacher.
Yes.
So she was remarkable as well. And, you know, as I look back Tech campus, great parents. When I was in high school, I started working at Catherine's Dress Shop with the incredible Catherine Brown, Mac Watson, and Mel Brown's mother.
Okay.
So I worked at Catherine's all the way through high school and all the way through college.
Yes.
What an incredible role model she was, and she taught me so much, not only about the fashion industry and retail, but about life and being strong. She was in a house full of men, and she carried her own. So lots of cool opportunities before I started my real kind of grown-up professional career.
You know, and we lived in that era, and it's a great era, and I don't wish to go back and live in that era. I still hold true to the idea that I'm starting to see a lot of what we believed in that era being brought into a modern era. And I'm skipping this whole conversation on what millennials are that are bad about this country and just focusing on those that are doing something good.
And, absolutely.
You know, I, as maybe have said to you, am one of the original "it takes a village to raise a child" person, because as you may or may not recall, my sister and I were abandoned by our mother at birth and brought to Cookeville. And we were very much an exception. Children of that era in 1961 were always placed in an orphanage rather than given to a single father.
Right.
But we had great legal counsel in the now late, great John Petit, who said to my father, "Gather letters from every person you know in the community that says they can be a help to raising these kids." And my grandparents were already there. And then my aunt was very much against the idea.
Was she really?
She was furious to hear that my father was going to bring home these. I was one,
sure.
You know, 1 year old and 2 year old under the feet of these grandparents, but later admitted that it extended both their lives considerably. And my grandmother lived to the year she declared once a year prior that she would live to, which was 90. She would say, "I'm going to live to 90 and lay down and go to sleep and not get up," which she did. But, you know, you and I were very privileged to live and blessed to live in that era. Melinda Kiefer, who I'm talking to, went on to do great things for Cookeville that I was very much enamored by as a New Yorker who, at some point early in life, I just wanted to leave the town and shake the dust of this town off my feet and never come back. And in little steps here and there and watching what you were doing, I thought, I'd like to be a part of that at some point, you know, and I want to give back to the community that raised me. So, you know, this is not false flattery when I say I have looked to you. I've studied what you've done for years and years and years and listened. And this is one of the first chances I've had to really talk to you about how you started that. And I think there are so many people out there that should hear this as well. You know, you made history.
You're kind. Well, it also takes a village to have success. And so the cool part that you and I can share with your listeners is probably the tipping point is you have to leave the village long enough to know it's okay to come back.
Yeah.
And leaving and exploring and having a broader vision is partially what has contributed to making Cookeville so great.
Yes.
The people that go and learn and come back and give that gift. So, yeah, cut those little wings, let them go. They'll come back because Cookeville's special.
Yeah. Well, I'm still very much, you know, people will, I've always thought it's kind of fun watching people try to categorize me, and I don't have a particular category for myself, nor do I care to. So when people say, "Are you a country boy or a city boy?" I'll say, "Yes."
Yes, and that's
a city boy.
That's a great response.
You know, to my metropolitan friends, to my friends where I live in New York and in Chicago, I am such a country boy, and I get here and people treat me so often like a city slicker unless they get to know me
that's
and know that I'm here to, or the reasons that I'm here, you know. And I, in some way, feel like I want to carry on what my aunt did in the way of being a civic supporter. I wouldn't even say so much she was a leader. She would loathe the idea of being looked up to or put on a pedestal.
Yes.
Did not accept awards easily. And when I published a book in her honor of that collection of Cookeville and Putnam and Tennessee postcards,
it
was a great level of discomfort. It took 2 weeks of begging to say, "We really need you at the book signing party because
your
honor." So you, in so many ways, have also been both in on the front line and behind the scenes to the degree that that people don't really know, like myself, what it is that you've done there. Melinda Kiefer, who we're talking to, we're going to get into the next half hour and delve into that, how that started and what's next for Cookeville. And I'm hearing lots of things. Of course, there's gossip, there's rumors. what's going on here? They tore this down. What's going to go in that place? People shifting around and moving from space to space, like I'm doing right now. I'm occupying a new space to build a museum based on the old drive-in movie theater, and we could have another, you know, hour.
That's a whole nother show, Lewis.
How did you originally? We're going to have to break here in a moment, but just a basic start on it. Did it start with education at Tech, an idea that you had, a passion, all of that combined, or
right? Well, being the child of parents who not only talk the talk but walk the walk. Dad served as mayor. Mother was always involved in her way. And a lot of her involvement was behind the scenes. I think that my Tennessee Tech time taught me a lot, too. But I think the biggest thing was wanting to make sure that Cookeville had an opportunity to be the absolute best it could be. The absolute best.
That's a great summary right there. I mean, when the question comes down to it and you say that was your maybe primary objective or your central focus, that Cookeville could be the best that it could be. And of all of the thriving micropolitans in the Southeast, this one ranks high again and again. And people look to us. Am I correct in assuming that I've heard that people have come to you from other size towns to talk to you or talk to Cookeville to say, how can we do what you did here
absolutely
to be that successful?
Yeah, we've had lots of good collaboration on the other end, too. We've gone to other places and tried to learn, but we're always there to help other communities, more specifically the Upper Cumberland as a whole.
That's great.
You know, we talk about regionalism a whole lot, but it is who we are. And geographically, there's a reason for that.
This is Lewis Matheny with Local Matters, and we are talking with Melinda Kiefer, and we have a lot more to listen to, including that of the words from our sponsors who make this program possible. So we'll take a break, and we'll be right back to hear more.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
We are back with Local Matters. I am Lewis Matheny, and I'm speaking to Melinda Kiefer. And if you've been listening at any point in the last half hour, you know that we're talking about a person who played a central role in help putting Cookeville on the map and making it the thriving micropolitan it is today. But in talking about today, we've got to go back. I, for one, have not been listening day by day by day, in that I have not been living in Cookeville full time, but I'm having at least more than part-time home here now. And I want to say to you, Melinda Kiefer, thank you for what you've done. And just quite frankly, tell me how it all started.
You know, every community has opportunities, and the moons align, okay, where a catalyst will happen and you can finally move forward, like upgrading downtown. There were a lot of barriers in the way to making that happen, besides just money to pave the streets. But when those moons align, how it happened is Cookeville was ready. The tragedy is when the moons align and a community didn't see it. They don't know it. They don't even recognize it. That was not the case here. You know, you look back at the leadership we've had in this city, in this county, back to leaders that made sure I-40 went through Putnam County and not a county to the south or a county to the north. Things like that that really laid out a path of destiny. And then when Cityscape started, that was truly a grassroots effort from a group of community leaders made up of university professors, you know, municipal folks, county folks that came together and said, look, you know, we need to do something about downtown. You know, we're spreading concrete in every other direction. And I just happened to be the one that raised my hand and said, pick me, pick me. I'll go do this.
And for, you know, this is after we broadcast locally and regionally, this will be a worldwide podcast. And my friends in New York and Chicago are always so interested in this panel
I
keep talking about. The reason is that what was once a shopping district that was central, that was placed near the railroad station where there once stood a hotel, had gone to sleep more or less as business got pulled to the classic mall that all places were building in the 70s, correct?
Correct. And it was happening across the nation. Yes. It wasn't just here.
Right.
So you can either pull yourself up by the bootstraps and peel off a layer and see what's underneath there, or you end up with a downtown that's boarded up. So it's a constant thing. The organization does a phenomenal job now. But my time as Main Street Director at Cityscape launched me into state government to do Main Street at the state level, and then had an opportunity to become Director of Community Development for the state. So I actually have been in 90 of the 95 counties. I mean, sat down, broke bread, and had conversations.
Really?
I've got five I got to get to. It's on the bucket list.
Okay.
So gosh, what an opportunity to get out there, meet people, see what the community's challenges are, help them be realistic about Starbucks is not coming here.
Yes.
So let's go find you an entrepreneur and let's get a coffee shop going.
Yes.
So the leadership in place with Cityscape gave me the confidence to be able to go and share some of what I had learned statewide and then return, because I fell into a really good administration accidentally. I'm not a good Democrat. I'm not a good Republican. It's like, okay, you won. Let's go do good things, you know?
Yes.
To bring that back home.
Yeah.
And so that's been a real treat. And gosh, we've had huge successes, but we were ready, Lewis.
Yes.
We were ready. We had a little pent-up demand. We'd been a little sleepy. You know, we lost a lot of jobs with offshoring. And so we were primed. We were ready for the companies that joined us. And when the folks like Academy Sports and Outdoors and global company SAIC say, oh my gosh, we love Cookeville, we want to move there, then that gives you validation that we're on the right path anyway. I don't know that we're doing it right, but we're on the right path.
So far, so good.
Right.
I'm in the studio with Melinda Kiefer, and if you've never met her in person, her enthusiasm is absolutely contagious, in the same way that her mother, who was my teacher in elementary school when Melinda and I were in elementary school together, there was an enthusiasm about her teaching that was contagious.
Oh,
teaching,
there was. She teaching, was fun.
You know, and it's not just the recitation of words and information and facts that a child listens to and memorizes. It's when you have a teacher who is enthusiastic and build, you know, you have that connective sort of energy that I have always felt since coming back to Cookeville and meeting you. I don't think we've announced on the air. We said before we got on the air, what is your title officially?
Oh, Lord. Chief Cat Herder. My official title, and I'd love to be, you know, like my daddy, I would wanted to be the head coach. So, but my official title is Economic Community Development Coordinator for the city of Cookeville. So I have the benefit of working for an incredible council and with 420 some odd employees in the city of Cookeville who truly, truly have the taxpayers' best interests at heart. So I'm, again, very blessed to fall in a time of great leadership.
Yes. You know, it's said by therapists when they go to deal with couples who can't seem to find their way through a marriage for, you know, longer than a couple of years, that the mistake that is made is that you marry the worst aspects of your father and or your mother, whether you're the son who marries your the father, you know, or some version, you know, in your wife and so on. Or if you have a healthy relationship in life, it is that you have brought forward the best attributes of both your mother and your father, which you seem to have done. And what a lucky guy who I've barely had more than 30 seconds of time to speak to.
Randy,
about whom I know so little and want to have to come in to talk at some point on the show. But the two of you obviously have a great mutual support system.
Absolutely.
Your love of family is obvious. Your love of your community as large as a family is obvious.
And he is a true communitarian. I mean, he does so much behind the scenes. And, you know, this past year, WCTE honored him you know, for all of his contributions with the Joe Albright Award. And it was just so heartwarming.
It was. Because, I was there for that. And, yeah. And up until then, I knew so little about him.
Yes.
You know, you remember I was only there for a split second and had to run. I had other obligations, you know, with the various things that I am starting in town. And I thought, I really want to sit down and pick this guy's brain and hear about him as a craftsman and an artisan as well, we'd say, right?
Yes, he is. Yeah. Metalist, if you will. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But he comes from that same type background. Again, community is important. And yeah, we provide a good balance. He's an engineer, so he keeps me from being on Mars.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a little bit crazy, so I keep him from sitting in the dark by himself all the time because he'd be happy with a pencil and calculator and, you know.
Yep.
But so, yeah, we have a really, really good balance there. And, of course, he and myself are managing our family business.
That's great.
He is... the owner and I, you know, am do what I can to help and support him. But he and my daddy absolutely adored each other. Dad said once of Julie and I, my sister, that for one reason or another, he is so glad for his son-in-laws. He had two daughters. And so glad it wasn't up to him to pick them when we brought them home.
Yes, right.
That Julie and I had made really good choices. And
now you and I have something that happened recent to us that I think is a first for both of us, and that is as grandparents. Is this your first time grandmother?
It's my first grandbaby.
My first time grandfather.
Yes,
so,
isn't that amazing? It's that chapter. And of course, they've named the baby Dean after my mother.
That's great.
So it's precious. We're super excited.
My grandson has my son's first name, who was always called by his middle name. So instead, they're calling him by his first name. But and he's loved Cookeville the times that he's been here and has explored, and mostly an out-of-doors guy. And, of course, we have some of the greatest waterfalls and parks in the area.
Yeah.
But we, you know, we're talking to Melinda Kiefer and running out of time quickly, but I just wanted to get a brief overview of what you think is most important and is happening in the immediate future for Cookeville.
Yeah, well, let's look ahead a little bit. I know that... And I've said this, you know, on these stations before, but we still have capacity. If everything that's in the pipeline right now that we know to be true, and when I say that, I mean, it's something on a piece of paper, it's not just a conversation, but if all the projects came to fruition in the next, say, 2 to 3 years, then from now until maybe 5 years, we're looking at another 1,400 job creation. And a lot of that is local business expansion, which is one of the coolest things ever. I mean, it's exciting to get a new prospect and they move here. But when your local companies can grow, it's a total sweet spot. It's absolutely beautiful.
Sure.
And we're tickled about that. You know, there's some things out there. I think we'll probably have close to 800 jobs maybe announced in the next 60 days.
Isn't that fantastic?
It is. Yeah. It's fantastic. And again, our goal is to get the per capita wage up. That is our goal every day.
Yeah.
And we've looked at projects really hard and not submitted because that living wage has, we've got to obtain that.
Right.
Not just jobs, but as high paying as we can possibly get.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's really kind of exciting. We're going to keep trudging along, with all of that. So.
We could talk on and on about what I just discovered recently in the way of the expansion of Dogwood Park, which I think is so exciting. And for me personally, building the museum in the historic West Side District means that I just noticed that the park will land on Maple.
Yes.
And for viewers, listeners again, who aren't in local, it'll bring an expansion of a city park within just walking distance of where I'll be putting the museum and other businesses on the west side.
Absolutely.
That are still putting one foot in front of the other and following in your footsteps, in that you sort of made all of that possible and they take the ball and run with it now.
They do. So, see, yeah. Isn't that incredible? You just lay a good foundation. Again, our job as economic developers is to create an environment for businesses and people to succeed.
Yes.
I can't make you make money and I can't create jobs.
Yeah.
But what I can do is create a foundation where you can come in and do what you do best yes. and thrive.
Right. And we see, for those, again, who aren't from the local area, Melinda Kiefer and I have been talking about how that we're growing in a community, and it has a lot to do with business, but it has a lot to do with art.
You yes.
know, it has a lot to do with music and visual arts, and those are forms of history, I think, that people overlook often. And we've had a great time talking, and Melinda, I hope to have you back in for another chat very soon.
I would love that. Let's keep an update.
Let's do it. Thanks to our listeners for listening today.